Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins get a hat trick and two assists from Brad Marchand. That includes the game-winning goal and a 6-5 win over Detroit in overtime last night. Torrey Krug added two goals and two assists, and they were needed after the team found out they'd be without top rookie Charlie McAvoy for 4 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's he's a guy that plays in every situation. A lot of minutes against, you know, top quality players, and you want to be the guy that, you know, they put more on your shoulders and more on your plate in front of you. And definitely, you know, the last time he went out of the lineup, I felt that I took another step in the right direction in my game, and obviously I want to continue that this time.
Bruins have won four straight. They continue their homestand tomorrow night against Philadelphia. Patriots will have linebackers coach Brian Flores call most of the defensive plays next season, but he won't be given the title of defensive coordinator. The team has picked up the option on the contract of wide receiver Kenny Britt, and NBC Sports Boston reports Deion Lewis, a long shot to return to the team. His contract demands are apparently too high, and he's not happy about his usage early in the season and at the Super Bowl. Red Sox beat Tampa Bay 9-1 yesterday in Port Charlotte, Florida. They'll play two games today. One split squad faces Minnesota in Fort Myers. The other will travel over 2 hours to face Philadelphia in Clearwater, Florida. J.D. Martinez will make his spring debut for the Red Sox today against the Twins. He'll be in left field and hit cleanup. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Live Nation. See Luke Bryan with Sam Hunt Friday, July 6th at Fenway Park. City presale today through Thursday at 10 p.m. RedSox.com/Luke Bryan. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hardy is your next update in 30 minutes.
Miss Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A lot of weather out there today, so a lot of weather.
I think
your microphone's broken. Zoe's microphone's broken.
Hello?
I hear you now.
You got me?
Yeah, I got you now.
Boston be pissed.
Yeah. The whole city?
Yeah.
The whole city be upset.
Everybody be upset. No Zoe.
Ripped. All right.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Another vortex? What's the name of this storm?
I don't think it has a name. It does?
What, Susan?
What is it?
Quinn?
Quinn. Like Quinn from Lost.
Hello, me Irish.
Right? There was
me
a Quinn. Quinn. There was a Quinn in Lost.
We got me Leprechaun. May Quinn. Name him me Quinn.
Quinn.
Quinn's an Irish name, right?
Isn't it?
All right, then.
It's like okay, Donald?
So we got Quinn coming on in today. All right, so let's start by talking some football today. I saw your tweet. I saw your tweet yesterday.
I got excited.
Four hours of football tomorrow.
Felger Mass got me going. I did three straight.
I saw three straight hours
of football.
And we had planned on talking a lot of football today. And I know the Bruins had a great win last night. Brad Marchand, we're going to get to that. We will get to that later in the show. But we start with the Patriots. Let me tell you, just from keeping an eye on the news related to the Patriots or the phone calls to Felger Mass a little bit yesterday or tweets or stories, whatever it might be, there seems to be a real negative vibe about the Patriots right now. Like, a lot of people
are... Yeah, like the Tom Curran stories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, credit for Tom for writing it, because, you know, most beat writers really favor the team. You know, like guys like Pete Abraham that cover the Red Sox. You know, it's sort of pro articles. And Tom's been putting some negative stuff up. Not that he's intently trying to write negative stuff, but he's getting some of the tidbits that... A little different environment. Things were different. He was sort of ahead of the Wickersham stuff. That this might, you know, kind of be the beginning of the end where everybody's, you know, the coat check line, right? That was the line he used.
I'm going to tell you what. I think everyone needs to calm down. That's what I think.
Whoa.
I think everyone needs to calm down a little
bit. How about
that? I don't think it's as bad as everyone's going to make it out to be.
Mm.
I don't think that it's as dire. Now, listen, there are some things that got to get worked out. The Brady Belichick thing that goes back to the season. That's got to get worked out. They've got to work that out, and I think they will. But I think that right now, people have a sky is falling view of the Patriots.
Yeah, what are they going to be, a 9-17 next year?
They're
with 13 games, 12 games
again.
Step
back for a moment, please. Everyone calm down.
Tom Brady's still here.
Calm down. All right, so what do you want to get to first? Because we've got a long list of items to get to.
There's a lot.
So what's the biggest pressing issue right now with the Patriots that you want to discuss?
What's Nate Solder's mindset? I thought they nailed that yesterday. I think that's your number one offseason priority, more so than anything else. What do you get that look on your face?
Hardy's already got a perplexed slap it off.
Have you ever wanted to slap Hardy any worse than that?
So the number one concern.
Who's your quarterback?
Okay, wait. No, that's two different things.
No, we know who the quarterback is.
Okay.
This ties into it. Who's your left tackle? Right now, who's your left tackle?
You think that's the number one thing, though?
Hell yes.
You don't think Rob Gronkowski's future is number one?
I would go with Rob Gronkowski as the number one concern.
I don't think he's going anywhere. He's back. I don't even look at him as a concern. He's trying to get more money.
Can you replace Nate Solder if you need to?
I don't know that.
At the same level?
And the amount of times they throw the football. Gee, what happened in the second half of that game? Oh, we need to throw it every play. Go block the best front we've seen all year. And he did. He had a great game.
So you don't know. Can you replace Rob Gronkowski?
No.
No. That's why I say Rob Gronkowski.
You really think that Rob is sitting home, might not show up. Really might not play ball this year.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
I don't think it's in him at all.
Okay.
Okay, but for the sake of the conversation, we've got to sort of assume we don't know.
I would put
Rob Gronkowski as number one. Number one thing that has to be figured out and established that he is coming back. I think he is coming back.
But if you're running a team and you're Nick Caserio and you're Bill Belichick, not even the ownership, because this is a football decision. I can see why they'd be a little concerned because we need to know now. We need to know now because guys like Jimmy Graham are out there. I think Safarian Jenkins, he's available. There are other tight ends that are available. We need to know now, though, bro. I think that answer is already – I think Drew Rosenhaus and company already gave that answer to Belichick at the Combine. And I think that's one of the reasons Rosenhaus said, hey, I can't talk to any Patriots. You kind of sworn to secrecy because we're working on getting another deal done with Rob. And I don't think the deal's done yet. That's all. But I understand why you'd be concerned if you're building the team.
Well, Greg Bedard writes this on Boston Sports Journal about the Nate Solder situation, and he asks, could history repeat itself for the Patriots this offseason when it comes to a pending free agent and one of their bedrock players? He refers to 2015 when Devin McCourty was a free agent, and a lot of people said he's not leaving. Why would he leave? And then he ended up having a bunch of teams that were interested.
They almost lost him.
Agreed.
We thought the franchise tag was coming down on McCourty. We did.
He had a deal on the table that he did not ultimately end up accepting and came back to the Patriots when they had to pony up and pay him in a big way. And he wonders if the same thing could happen with Nate Solder. And I think it's a good question. Could that happen with Nate Solder? Is Nate Solder going to go to the market, use free agency to his advantage, and come back to the Patriots and say, you owe me this. I want to be paid this. And if you don't pay me this, I'm leaving.
Is he willing to play football another 3 years? See, I think there are a lot of people looked at him going into this year that this could be sort of the bye-bye year and he could probably even retire. I think this year gave him new football life. That makes sense? Because I think, we're sitting down there doing those shows at camp. We're like, look at this roster. This could be the last year for Nate Solder. Marcus Cannon just got that nice deal. He was going to be healthy. Can you kick other guys over there? That's a thing. Can you move Cannon to left tackle if Solder doesn't sign back? That is a major concern. It's a different position. Right tackle, left tackle, major different positions. Your athlete needs to be on the left side if your quarterback's right-handed. Quarterback's left-handed, athlete needs to be on the right side. Cannon's more of a grader for me. Road grader. Solder, a little more cerebral, bigger, longer, sort of to push those guys by.
Solder coming off a two-year, $20 million deal that has a clause in there that the Patriots could not franchise him.
Pretty good deal, by the way. Did not
franchise anybody yesterday because they didn't, and they didn't have the opportunity to do it to Nate Solder because that was in his contract that they couldn't use it on him. Two-year, $20 million, which was a good deal for the Patriots. That was a good deal. Patriots won on that deal.
See, we're starting this today. We're 1 week away from free agency, folks. 1 week away from today, it starts. Your season starts for next year.
So if you need him the way you believe they do so.
I think they do because of the quarterback. Because you made a decision, and they're right, to go with Brady. If you're going with Brady, you better have his ass blocked backside.
So what are you going to offer him? What's your offer to Nate Solder right now to get him to stay? and just sign him and lock him up and get it over with.
2 years, $25 million.
Yeah, I'd say 2 years between $24 and $28 million is
where you have to be. I don't think he has 3 years of football in him. So why even do the dance where you're going to backload it and you're going to be in money trouble later? Just do it now. Nate, 2 years, we love you. We want you here. We know the off-field stuff. We love the way you played. Let's guarantee.
When we say 2 years and 28, we say 2 years if he plays the next 2 years, the contract pays him out that money. Yeah. You might make it a longer deal to manipulate the bonus money and cap and all that stuff.
But I think two years of real money. Real money, 2 years.
2 years of real money and real money going home with $25 to $28 or $29 million. That's what you're talking about. That's a lot of coin. What's the other option? There really isn't one.
That's your problem. That's your problem. Because your center's solidified. Your right and your left guards are solidified. Your right tackle's here for the next 3 years. Your line's intact. You want to talk about symmetry and blocking it up and keeping when the season starts, he's going to be 41, the quarterback. I think he's pretty comfortable with those guys. Or you want to draft somebody and throw a rookie out there with him on day one?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Say you open up on the road, hostile environment. You want to put some rookie out there out in Denver? Don't we have to go to Denver again next year? Yeah, I think so. I think we have to go to Pittsburgh. You want to open up at Pittsburgh on the road with a rookie left tackle? I sure as hell don't. How about you?
I can tell you this.
The
Rob Gronkowski situation is probably likely easier to resolve than the Nate Solder one.
No Denver. No Denver next year. I thought we were at Denver next year for some reason. We played every damn year. I'm just kind of assumed that. We're at Pittsburgh next year. Okay. I do know that. Yeah.
I think the situation to resolve the Gronk thing is gonna be easier to do than it is to figure out the contract and get Nate Solder back. 617-779-0985. That is where we start, but there's a lot to get to on the Patriots. A lot of different things happening, including the future of Deion Lewis and Brian Flores and what his role will be defensively for the Patriots on the coaching staff. We'll get to all this coming up.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Aaron Zolak and Bertrand. Got the Nate Solder situation along with Rob Gronkowski. Those are at the top of the list. Those are at the top of the list for the Patriots to figure out. And it might get a little more interesting with Nate Solder because he can hit the market and he can shop himself and he can go to other teams. 617-779-0985. Adam and Lowell, what do you want to do about Nate Solder?
I'd rather take my chances and try to fill it somewhere else. Nate Solder, in my opinion, is a human turnstile. I'd rather have somebody else overpay him to underachieve. I can count on my hand 10 to 15 times this year where either run play was blown up because of him or Brady almost got absolutely croaked because of him. It's like, hey, who got the free run? Oh, ran right by Nate Solder.
Is your team's success predicated on a run game?
Well, no, but that still doesn't – so what? I want to keep him in there, though? I'm more concerned about Brady getting croaked, but guess what? I think he can get somebody better. He does nothing that blows me away.
Wow. Okay.
Well, he said – what did he have that number as? He had that number as
– He count on
15
one hand.
To 20 times a year.
Or two hands.
Last season. What happens when you replace him and you get a guy who lets that happen 40 to 50 times a year? Then I think you'd notice it a little bit more.
People
notice the left tackle when he's screwing up.
Yep.
When he's doing his job, you don't pay any attention to him.
Three people you notice who screws up. The quarterback, the cornerback, and the backside tackle of the quarterback. Those are the three most visible people on errors. People would be floored to find out what Nate Solder potentially graded out at from A grade, A to D.
Pro Football Focus this year gave him a 75.7. Which puts him in the average range. That's where they had him. They had him as an average Nate. doesn't really roll off the tongue.
Average Al's better.
It doesn't take into account everything that you have to account for when you're talking about the person who's protecting Brady's blind side. I mean, what is the game plan for every defense playing the Patriots? Get to Brady.
Kill Brady.
Take away the passing game. Do whatever you can. So he's charged with essentially being the first and most important line of defense for every team's defensive strategy week in and week out.
What did Jacksonville and Philadelphia say they were going to do? They said they were going to kill Brady.
Well, right? I would say go back and watch the Super Bowl tape and tell me how good of a player Nate Solder is. Okay, what have you done most recently? You watch that tape?
Atlanta.
That's a guy worth having on your team.
How about Atlanta?
Not so much. The Atlanta Super Bowl?
Second half Atlanta. It's pretty good.
Okay. Second half.
I'm saying, on the whole, that game was not great for him.
No, but when you needed to make plays.
That's over a year ago now, though. Yeah. Look at the Super Bowl from a month ago.
Yeah.
Look at how the guy played.
When you're talking about, you know, Rob Gronkowski and whether or not he's going to play and comparing which one is more important, which should be more of a priority for the Patriots. No, I just think that if you're going to factor in what Gronkowski wants to do non-football-wise, you have to factor in Nate Solder, what's going on with his family, what's going on with his son's health. That's the priority. Nobody is going to dispute that. And if he decides he doesn't want to play, he's going to devote everything he can while his family is going through this for now and forever. Of course he is.
And so I would not, as the team, leverage that against him to where you're just going to take it for granted. You know what? He loves Boston. He loves the care he gets here, that he's going to want to stay here. I would not for one second.
He might want to stay here, but not play football. Sorry, man. My head's not in it. Nobody's going to blame him. No one's going to. And I hope to God that that's not the case. You know, they've been back and forth with his son's diagnosis. And, you know, they thought they had it, and then it came back. And, you know, you can't. You can't feel more for the guy or for the family and for the kids than you do for Nate Solder and what he and his family are going through.
I'm sure
the team has to think about that, and it's like, absolutely. We know what he's going through, and he may decide that, or it may not be his decision that, okay, this football thing isn't what's going on in his life right now, and they're gonna have to find somebody because Nate isn't gonna play.
When he tore his bicep, you know, down there in down in Texas, down in Dallas, and that's originally when his son got sick, and he said, I don't know how I could actually function or play that season if I didn't get hurt. Like, getting hurt was a blessing. And then he sort of had this new release on life. Remember, he went traveling one of the off seasons. He went like to Turkey or something, and it's almost like he had this awakening, and he understood how to balance football and taking care and dealing with the reality of what you have to deal with when you go home. And I think he had a good understanding with the team this year, where if he needed days, he wasn't there. Remember, there were several days where Solder not seen a practice. I think those were excused absences to go home. And I think he had a hell of a balance. I think he has a new lease on football, where a year ago, I think he's looking at it like, this is probably my last year. I think he found a way to fall in love with football again.
Here's what I would say with this, though. This is really on the Patriots to get this done, because I think there's a desire for the player to stay here. Much like that Devin McCourty situation played out 2 years ago that Greg Bedard referenced.
Yeah.
I think McCourty wanted to be here, and ultimately that was the case.
Edelman wants to be here. Amendola, I think, wants to be here. That's the best thing you have going.
Yeah, those are bad comps, though.
Yeah.
Because Edelman went to the market, and nobody wanted him.
This guy could go
on the Giants. The Giants brought
him
for
that.
A visit.
You're right on that.
The best comp is this McCourty one. McCourty wanted to be a Patriot. He went out.
He had a bigger deal.
You know, they didn't really offer him what he was looking for, and he had to hit the market and go get it. And then they said, okay, well, we need you and we want you, so we're going to bring you back. And I think the same thing will apply here. But I think the Patriots can avoid that if they just make a competitive market type of offer. They can do it and keep them here and be done with it. They can resolve this pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Assuming they don't try and come in low and do the back and forth.
Don't insult him.
Right.
That's the thing. Don't kick the guy in the nuts.
This can either one of two ways. It can be really easy or really complicated. It can go one of those two ways. I don't know if there will be much in the middle. 617-779-0985. There is also this. Yesterday, the Patriots picked up an option on Kenny Britt. And this has pissed me off since the moment you texted me.
I knew it. Why do you think I put Britt capital letters?
This is a joke. I'm just going to say this. Fine, they picked up the option on Kenny Britt. If they come up $1.5 million, it's $1.5 million, correct?
With
plus incentives that could bring it up to $2 million.
Sure.
If they come up $2 million short on Danny Amendola, or they come up $2 million short
Deion Lewis.
On Deion Lewis, or they come up $2 million short on any other player that is on their roster that is going to leave, you look like a bunch of fools for doing that. I think it's foolish to begin with. I think the guy offers you nothing.
I think he had issues picking up the offense.
I think this
between you and me, I think he had issues picking up the offense, and that's between years.
I think it's a waste of time. I think it's a waste of money.
Tells you what Malcolm Mitchell's situation is, though, doesn't it?
It does.
That's what scares me more. This isn't even more about Britt. This is more damning about Malcolm Mitchell, that the knee's not that good, that this is chronic, that we actually have to pick up Kenny Britt's option to make sure we have bodies here for the OTAs and work ethics and the working sessions, throwing sessions. The Malcolm's knee is so bad, we gotta give Kenny Britt $2 million.
Phew. Ian Rappaport had the tweet. Patriots receiver Kenny Britt was informed his option was picked up. He's back for 2018, and they're looking for big things out of him.
You think he was...
The guy couldn't even get onto the field.
Easy with the last part? Yeah.
They're looking for big things.
If you're sitting there and you're Kenny Britt yesterday, are you floored that they pick your option up?
Yes.
I am.
Yes.
What? I think he and Alan Branch together thought, yeah, we're done. We're out of here. Yeah. Like, no shocker there, Alan Branch.
That's all
you're
I'm
not coming
say.
Back.
That's all I'm going to say about it right now, but yeah. I'm telling you, I'm going to be really mad if they come up a couple of million bucks short on another player. And they lost out on, let's say it's Danny Amendola over $2 million that he got elsewhere because you picked up the option on Kenny Britt.
I don't know. Britt had that one catch. Pittsburgh. A little route.
Oh, very exciting.
Good.
Big things.
Yeah.
Big things on the horizon for him. Absolutely. 617-779-0985. Is there a call on that line, though, that you were looking at?
I think he's gone.
Who was it?
Max.
I thought I saw that.
He's a tackle.
Is he there?
Yeah, he's not there anymore.
I didn't think so.
Probably fell asleep.
I'll have to get the backstory on that. 617-779-0985. Okay, Kenny Britt gets an option picked up, which is ridiculous. There's something else I'm not thrilled about that the Patriots decided yesterday. It relates to Brian Flores. We'll get to that next.
Sports Hub headlines.
The Bruins blew three two-goal leads last night, but still got the 6-5 overtime win over the Red Wings at TD Garden. And, of course, Brad Marchand got the game winner.
Yeah, a bit of a lucky bounce. I was kind of hoping Torrey was going to get it there for the hat trick, but I ended up on my stick and luckily winning.
Yeah, he mentioned the hat trick there that Brad Marchand got last night. Torrey Krug almost had it. Two goals and two assists on the night for Krug. Charlie McAvoy out. He'll be out for 4 weeks, and then they'll reevaluate his sprained MCL. Next up, the Bruins stay home, take on the Flyers Thursday night. Celtics also off tonight. They visit the Timberwolves tomorrow night. Red Sox with a 9-1 win over the Rays yesterday. Today it's a split squad doubleheader. Last one of spring training, they'll host the Twins at JetBlue Park. That's a 1:05 start. They'll also send a squad over to Clearwater to play the Phillies at the same time. Headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Visit now for a 15-minute oil change. You can stay in your car and no appointment is ever needed. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Hey, Brian Flores is going to be the team's defensive coordinator, but he's not going to have the titles, though.
Weird.
Isn't that annoying?
It is.
Just give the guy
the
title.
Your stripes. You're going to call the defense, but we're not giving you the tag of the title. Is that something to...
Yeah, you know what else they're probably not giving him? The pay for the title. This is a guy who was interviewing for a head coaching job. I didn't think he was going to get it, and he didn't get it.
Right.
But he was... thought of to the point where a team was willing to sit down with him and talk to him about their head coaching job.
Yeah. Well, it happened with Patricia, right? Same thing.
Yes, they made Matt Patricia do it too.
So, I mean, that's sort of their way of doing things.
Okay, but I don't believe Matt Patricia was out taking head coaching interviews before he had to pay his dues for the year. Matt Patricia was a guy who had been on Bill Belichick's staff.
Yep.
and was kind of moving up the ranks. He was not being looked at for other jobs,
right,
and especially not head coaching gigs.
Well, the
Brian
game...
Flores was in, could have been in the mix for defensive coordinator jobs if he wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think he really pursued that. He could have been, he was in the running for a head coaching gig. And now because you stay, you have to get the, you have to earn your stripes, get a, you know, be an apprentice.
Yeah,
for
but
a
I think
season.
The you know, the game's changed a certain
so
way to
lousy.
Where, you know, they're looking for all these young guys. You know, there's, you know, like McVay out in LA. You know, young guys are getting gigs that you wouldn't get 10 years ago. When Matt Patricia started this and you set back to when you're just a positional coach, but really your defense coordinator was sort of grooming you, you know, you didn't have these type of opportunities. And people will look at Patricia as he's slovenly or he doesn't look the part. You know, the Charlie Weiss comments.
I mean, Brian
you know,
Flores.
Clean yourself up.
Brian Flores
did it because of the Rooney Rule. I
he's
think.
Not
that's
a kid,
part of
though.
It.
I mean, how old's a coach in L.A.? He's like 29.
Yeah, McVay. Yep. That's yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, Brian Flores is 37. He's not a kid.
Yeah.
And he's not allowed to have the defensive coordinator job because why? Because that's the
it's
rule.
Not the way we do things.
Because that's the way it's done.
That's the way it's done here. Yeah. Billy O'Brien, you're not going to be offensive
so
coordinator.
All,
you're going to be quarterback
right,
coach.
For all intents and purposes, he is the team's defensive coordinator. Yeah, we'll
yeah,
be given
I'll view
the
him
pay
that
or
way.
The title.
When I'm calling games next year, I will view him that way.
Yep,
you're
we all
you're
will.
The DC, right?
Why'd
you blitz? Yeah. Yeah. You know what's interesting here, too? Looking at, is this First Take ESPN? What's the name of this show?
I don't know.
Whatever, with
yeah,
Stephen
First
A.
Take. It's First Take.
They just showed some video of Malcolm crying again. Everybody has seen the Jordan Richards video where he's you know kind of got his arm around Malcolm, and Malcolm's crying pregame.
Hold
the
on,
Super
you're
Bowl.
Missing the point here. Read the headline.
Patriots still have not found replacement for defensive coordinator Matt Patricia.
What world are they in? Are
they a little slow on the news cycle there? No, they have. And then the next question is Bill Belichick losing his mystique is the second part of that.
And what happened if they won that game? Would he have his mystique? I don't the shocking
okay.
headline.
Let me ask
the
you bottom. This. Is Tommy Curran writing his story yesterday if they win the game?
I don't know.
You mentioned that story right off the top
sure.
today. You thought that was a good story.
Yeah.
And the gist of it was,
I mean, I think
does
Tom's...
Bill Belichick have guys around him that are willing to question him? I'll tell you how it's easier to make sure you don't have guys that are around you willing to question you. You don't even give them the title of defensive coordinator. Who are you? You're just a coach on my staff. You're not a coordinator.
I think there's two guys. I think it's and I don't think one questions him. And I think the first guy is Ernie Adams. I think Bill relies heavily upon Ernie Adams and his information and his thoughts and what do we need to do? You know, Josh McDaniels, I think, at this stage, goes back and forth. He'll go back at Bill because he's been there, done it. I don't think anybody on the staff does. And that can be an issue. I think Tom's got a pretty good feel for that. Tom talks to people. Tom's there every day. But to my other point, I mean, you saw Jordan Richards with his arm around Malcolm in that pregame when he was crying. They had video that they just ran. Brandon Daly went all the way over, hugged Malcolm, rubbed his head, whispered something in his ear. So, I mean, this stuff just, that's another indicator. This just got thrown upon him pregame. Like, bam, in your face. You're not playing today. You're not playing today. I don't think
and
he's
And for those who are not familiar with the name Brandon Daly, he is a defensive assistant.
I never saw that video.
On the Patriots
So you
staff.
Only thought it was just, it was Jordan Richards consoling Malcolm. No. Another defensive coach went over, rubbed his head, hugged him, and whispered something in his ear. So this was dropped pregame that you ain't playing today, man. Because he doesn't act, nobody acts that way in the sideline. Okay?
And so
Malcolm has not started games before.
And so you've got a defensive coach who obviously felt for him. Is that fair to say? In some fashion,
yeah.
He felt for
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Hey, that guy that we played 98% of the time against everybody and started 17 games
so
for us
along
is
these
not
going
to take a snap at a Super Bowl.
Along these lines of
again,
questioning.
We're going back to
yeah.
Like, wow.
Of questioning the head coach. If that were to happen again, another player gets benched in the Super Bowl. Is there anybody on the staff? Hell, they don't even have a defensive coordinator next season. There won't even be somebody with the title of defensive coordinator.
See, Patricia would never talk out of respect for Bill, but boy, wouldn't you like to get him on the truthometer.
Wouldn't you like to know if Matt Patricia went to Bill during the course of that game and said, Bill, what are we doing? What the bleep? Come on. Let's put the kid back in.
No, put Batamosi in.
Like, did that
you
happen?
Take Richards out, put
I want, and, you know, and that's why I kind of go back to this story and I ask you that question. If they won, does any of that get asked? I think it was worth asking before that game had even finished. Was anyone doing that the game in the Super Bowl? And so I would say, oh, there's this new, you know, dynamic with coaches leaving. I don't know. Maybe there won't be a change from what you already had.
I'd have to think. Yes, they would question, like, "Hey, can it's Malcolm?" Like, even players indicated quietly to people that it's Malcolm time.
Maybe,
right?
I'm wrong. Maybe he was questioned. Maybe Matt Patricia went to him during the game.
I'm sure he did. And he said, "Bill said no, don't put him in." Told you, don't put him in. Figure something else out.
Wouldn't you feel better at least knowing somebody had said,
"Yeah,
what are we doing?"
Yeah, to do what we do. We question it. I mean, we sit here, we watch it. How do you not question that? How do you not question that move?
And so I think that also brings in another element. What if there are guys around him who question him, but it doesn't mean a damn thing?
Yeah. Shut up.
The real question is not, are there guys there willing to question? It's, is there a coach who's receptive to the questioning? Who gets the questions and then says, you know what? You do have a point. Who's receptive to what that is? Or is it sort of how Tommy Curran paints it, which is you get to a certain stage, you've had so much success, you've done it right for so long, you could be the best head coach of all time.
Keep going back to...
You say, you know what? I know way more than you'll ever know, yeah. And I'm better than you at this. So what I say goes. You get to a certain age where you're just crusty about things, you know?
Yep. Remember, I keep going back to remember the Titans, you know, when Petey's not playing and Allen's in there and he's getting smoked and... Hey, you want him in there? You go tell him, take your position. You know, it's like, there's really going to get to that point. Like, a player's got to say something. Like, coach, what are we doing here? I mean, again, we're going back to Malcolm Butler here. It's amazing. Still have no answers on this. Like, you've internalized it as a football decision. You've accepted it.
Bad one.
Yeah, I guess.
It's absolutely worth questioning.
Horrific one. Horrific one.
Terrible one that the team, I think, paid dearly
for. Nick Foles
for.
And that lineup beat you. No, again, no disrespect to that team. They called it a great game. But from a personnel standpoint, you knew the pre and post game. But how many games have you done with better personnel?
I think it was
offensive sets.
I think it was a football decision that was made with personal bias, though. Okay. I don't think it was all.
Good. There's a caveat there.
Yeah, yeah, with personal bias against the player.
Okay.
That's what I think it was. He thought he could get by without him.
My
thought
perception,
he could get by with the bad emoses. In the game.
My perception on the players is you sit there and you look at more of the contracts that were handed out and what's going to be potentially handed out, there may be more of a market for Malcolm than we think there was going to be. That all of a sudden you're holding his number down. He might get $10 million a year. He may get $10 million a year.
I want to humor myself with this call for 20 seconds. Rory.
How's it going, folks?
What do
Rory.
You got?
So I have a take on why Malcolm Butler
Let's hear
did
it.
Play. So I have a friend of mine, maybe more of an acquaintance, who grew up with Tom E. Curran, and the word is that Malcolm got in a fight with the center back coach.
Oh, okay. So Tom E. Curran told your buddy, who he grew up with, that Malcolm got into a fight with the defensive backs coach.
Damn you, Tom.
And that's what happened. It was a fist fight before the game.
It's never been talked about before.
Have you heard that one?
No, I've never heard that one.
I haven't heard that one. That's
well,
new.
I haven't heard it from a source this close, from a guy who talked to another guy who talked to Tommy Curran who talked to...
Grew up together.
Maybe two other guys.
Yes.
I have so many friends there on the inside of talk that nobody
theory,
saw a fight happen.
Brand new. And B, I don't think we've ever had as close to 4 degrees of separation.
To Tommy Curran.
So... I'm going with it.
It's amazing Tom hasn't written any of these stories.
Put it in your headlines for the top of the
hour. Put it on the website.
Tommy Curran's friend said. Breaking.
617-779-0985. Deion Lewis, is he as good as gone? We'll discuss next.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Third down and 9 for the Patriots. Again, 1:38 to go. Lewis behind Devlin. Allen motions right to left against a four-man front. Brady with a handoff to Lewis. Deion runs it to the left, trying to get outside to the 50. Oh! Lewis has a first down and more across the 40 to Jacksonville's 38-yard line with 90 seconds left and a timeout taken by the Jags.
Christmas time, you wrap presents, you seal the corners, and then when you're done wrapping that gift, you slap that bow up on top of it. That's about what we're getting ready to do here. What a run by the little guy.
Deion Lewis, We've seen reports in recent days that he had as many as 9 suitors in the free agent market. Could command somewhere in the range of $6.5 million a year.
I would believe 9 teams pick up the phone to call the agent. Do you really think there's 9 teams that are going to invest in him at that dollar level?
I called them suitors. I didn't say that they were all making
right.
offers.
Yeah.
9 potential landing spots, not named New England. Does that satisfy your question?
I try to envision him in other offenses, like in EFC. They would scare the hell out of me. Like Houston's one of them. You put him in a backfield with Deshaun Watson. Oh.
All right. So if it's $6 million a year, no freaking way are the Patriots paying this guy $6 million a year.
Nor should they.
And then there was this tweet from Mike Giardi at NBC Sports Boston this morning. Multiple sources think it's a long shot that Deion Lewis remains a Patriot. Expected contractual demands are a problem. And those sources say Lewis remains disappointed by his usage both early in the season and again in the Super Bowl. He's mad at the team about the start of the year in the Super Bowl.
I don't understand why. He became your feature back. He earned that spot. He played a ton in the preseason. We thought they were like showcasing him for a trade. He ended up being your number one back. He beat everybody out.
That is
Gillislee
correct.
Was yes. a non-factor. Gillislee was actually not active most of those games. Burkhead was always hurt. James White sort of just came in when he had to. Like, you shelf James White. Deion Lewis was your number one back.
He had more carries than anybody else in the Super Bowl. I don't understand why that was an issue for him.
Then they threw for over 505 yards.
Yep.
They scored 30, how many points? 30,
they ran 22 22? Running plays. They had 49 passing plays.
Was he mad James White had the touchdown run? He get in the end zone?
I guess.
I did not come away from that game or that season saying, boy, they used him wrongly. I thought they used him right. I thought you had to balance things because of the size. I think that's one of the things. He can't. He's not Leonard Fournette, right? Not 6'2", 6'3", 260 pounds. I'm going to run you over. I'm going to wear you down. No. But he could run, man. I mean, he was a stronger runner, and he had great leg turn. He proved his strength, proved his health. If I'm New England, I tell him, go get a number. Come back.
I wouldn't even do that. If this is the number, I'd start looking for somebody else.
Yeah.
You need him that badly?
I think he's number 2 offseason need. No, you know what? Yeah, I do. Yeah. Quarterback's 41, Beetle. Don't forget. Who you handing it to?
You
Who's in the huddle? Game one.
You got to go find somebody.
Yeah.
You got to go figure that part out.
Bring Blunt back? Let's piss off Felger and Mass. Bring Blunt back. Love to see that.
At the start of this season, the Patriots had no interest in him being the feature back. He was buried on the depth chart. Gillislee, yes, Gillislee was even ahead of him, along with Burkhead and White. Deion Lewis was considered the 4th back on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way it developed was that Burkhead didn't stay healthy all year. White had, an average year for him. And Gillislee couldn't even stay on the field. I mean, they didn't even want to play him. He was inactive a lot of times. So who do you put that on? Is that Deion Lewis emerging, or is that the Patriots reluctantly saying, well, our other moves didn't work out? Well, now you've been put in a spot where you have to go and get it right this offseason. You have to get this part of it right. And I don't think that answer is going to be Deion Lewis. I'm not going to pay this guy $6+ million a year. Not to mention, I would still be concerned about his. You said he got stronger. He's injury prone. He's had a lot of bad injuries. The knee is a real issue.
Yeah, I got past holding my breath when
I'm worried about that.
Yeah, he would either get up slow or take a tough hit. He popped up quickly from tough hits. I think he's a tough son of a bitch. I like the kid as a player.
Well, toughness and having
diverse.
Knee injuries are two different things.
See, the only thing I worry about is you get into games where you play a team like Jacksonville. He didn't make. He had the tough run at the end. You just heard the call by Bob Sosi and myself right there at the end of the game. Kind of capped it off.
You fumble in that game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many guys? Remember a couple swing passes out in space?
That was the play that
he didn't make
had
guys.
Had it been called correctly, could have been a touchdown for Jacksonville.
Yeah, he didn't make Jack miss.
Is he upset about that one? Is he upset at the Oh, no, that was on him. Oh, I get it.
Wow. You know what's interesting here, too? And this just popped up couple Argos, some trade scenarios.
Like, he's really mad. That's weak, man. That is weak.
I can understand why he would be mad in a preseason. Like, if you show up, you're here the entire offseason, you bust your ass, and then you get in a huddle with not Tom Brady, with eight other guys that really aren't number ones, and you're running the ball in the second and third preseason game, and I thought he even played a little bit. Did he play a little bit in the fourth? Or were you like, holy crap? I think it was more the third, where he was in there with twos and threes, and we're like, what is going on? I could see where that would piss him off. Yeah. I'm better than these guys. Why am I in here with them? But then you earn that role because you outran everybody in that preseason. And if they didn't play in the preseason, maybe he wouldn't have got the opportunities that he got at the start of the regular season. I don't know. And if you're so disgruntled and pissed off about
the Patriots
the preseason, you think you'd have been around?
You know what they need to do? They need to go out and find the next Deion Lewis. The same way they found Deion Lewis the first time.
Ooh.
On the trash heap.
Like Lombardi.
Where they went picking through someone else's trash and they found a treasure. He was here a month and they signed him to a 2-year contract extension. Remember that?
Yeah.
He played like 5 games and they signed him to an extension.
Their record's phenomenal with him when he's healthy and in the backfield. They've lost like 3 games.
They need to do that again. Yep.
They need to find that again.
They need to have one of those type of off seasons instead of the one they had last year approaching.
See, again, and you say, okay, it's easy to say, let's go Nate Solder, let's go Deion Lewis. Man, turn on a tape of that Super Bowl. You need to get better at linebacker. I know Hightower's coming back. I know that. Understand that. But you trust him for 16 games? I trust him for at least 10, hopefully. Keep your fingers crossed. But, man, you need more front, man. You need another corner. You need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think you need 5 guys on defense. So how much do you invest in Solder and guys like Deion Lewis? Where it's going to hurt you to watch what we witnessed, where you couldn't stop anybody. Remember, the other team did not punt. Punt. P-U-N-T. Punt.
Punt.
Punt. Punt cake. Punt. You couldn't get off the field on defense. Your defensive coordinator now is a head coach. Your current head coach is the defensive guru. You could not do anything to stop Philadelphia and what they had rolling. I mean, that's still glaring. Don't forget about that. You need defensive help. As we sit here and we talk about Deion Lewis and Nate Solder in the first hour.
617-779-0985. We'll take your calls. 90 seconds, no commercials. Also, there's a preview of the final episode of Tom versus Time. Remember that? Remember Tom versus Time? They're not done yet.
When's that last one? I thought they...
Yeah, we'll discuss next.